Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Father, we praise you that you have called us, chosen us, made us your children. You have your plan and purpose for us and for your whole body. We thank you, Lord, that you want to see reformation in your church throughout the world. You want a revived people that are impacting society with your love and power, seeing multitudes come into the kingdom. And your holy name glorified by the wonder of what you do. So we thank you, Lord, that we're on a journey, but I feel this morning that we've scarcely begun that journey. And that you want to take us so much further into your purposes. So we thank you for the precious anointing of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to our hearts this morning, to encourage us, to challenge us, to help us to reach out for all that you are wanting to do amongst us. So we give you glory, honor, and praise. We open our hearts to hear and receive your word this morning. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's grab a seat. The kingdom theme this week is power. So the students are studying this in their forum groups. The Acts of the Apostles begins with Jesus. Begins with Jesus telling the first disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, these are the final words that Jesus spoke on earth. Because after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. The final thing he says is, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." You don't get the right answers until you ask the right questions. Some interesting things are taking place with those of you that have been doing the tutorial, the dozen or so of you who are studying in depth Reformation, the Puritan movement, and the revival of the 18th century. You're discovering how much better it is to study for yourself than simply to be told, to be lectured. That when you actually study things for yourself, you begin to ask the right questions. Why aren't we living in revival now? That's a good question. What do we need to do? Or is there anything we can do to encourage a reviving move of God's Spirit? Those of you that have been studying the Wesleyan revival are beginning to ask these questions. You see in those revivalists the contrast between the good that they were living in before the move of the Spirit, but how transformed the fruit was once the revival was underway. And they were not people that were sitting around waiting for a revival. They were engaged in the fullest possible way in the work of God, with a great desire to communicate the gospel to the lost and to see people that were bound in religious tradition coming alive in the power of the Spirit. And yet, they discovered that with a move of God's Spirit, so much more happened, so much more readily, so much more quickly, and with much greater power. So this is a good question. I was asked yesterday by one of you, having seen what I've seen in the past, how do I feel about not seeing so much happen now? And I said, constant frustration. The frustration isn't with God, the frustration is more with myself. The frustration is seeing what is lacking, knowing what needs to be put in place if we're to see the move of God that will actually enable the fulfillment of the promises he's given us, 5,000 households within the 25-mile radius. If what we have now could accomplish the fulfillment of those promises, then we'd be seeing the fulfillment of the promises. And this is the strange thing about the Christian faith, that on the one hand, you know that we possess all things, and on the other hand, you know that we lack so much of what God wants us to possess. The first thing that is necessary, if we want to see the power of God in the way that He wants us to know the power of God, is to have the right motives. Are you students here to fulfill a course? Are you team members here for a job? Now, of course, you students are in the midst of a course. Those of you on the team do have a job to fulfill here. But is this your reason for living? Is this your motivation for being here? Revival comes first and foremost when we want God for Himself, not for our sakes. But so that we can be the witnesses that He wants us to be. God will never revive a people for the sake of reviving them, so that they can say, we have a revival, or we have a wonderful time with God, or these wonderful things are happening. God's purpose always is to reach the world with the gospel of the kingdom. So if we have the right motivation, whether we're students or team members, our reason for being here is because we want God to move in our lives in such a way that not only personally but corporately we will be effective in reaching the world with the gospel. In a way beyond anything that we are seeing and experiencing at present. It isn't that we sit back and wait, because those who wait on God never get anywhere until they realize that God is waiting for us. If revival is God's best purpose for His church everywhere at all times, then it's a question of us coming into the purpose of God. Now, this is not to deny the value of what He's doing now. It's not to say that what is happening now is rubbish or not of God. God is doing some good things amongst us. He's taking us through a process here where He is actually reviving people at a personal level. And yesterday, when all the students were sharing what God was saying to them, every one of them, it was quite clear the depth of what God is doing in the lives of people at present. And that's good. But the good is the enemy of the best. And just because good things are happening doesn't mean that we are satisfied. Satisfaction is the enemy of revival. If you're satisfied with what is happening, if you're satisfied with what you're seeing, very easy to get into a kind of satisfaction mode where, yes, what is happening is good, and yes, I have a good relationship with God, and yes, things are going well, and my life with the family and this and that and the other. Praise God. And if we have those kind of attitudes, we're not really going to be hungry for God's best. Hungry for revival. I haven't used the word, I don't think, hardly at all term, because different people seem to mean different things by it these days. But if we're to understand that what revival is the Holy Spirit taking over, that actually is what it is, the Holy Spirit takes over. But He takes over because God's people want Him to take over. And let Him take over. And no matter what else we do, no matter what else we get involved with, nothing can compare with that. Because clearly, in Scripture,
The more the Holy Spirit takes over, the more of the activity of God is going to be seen. Now, what Jesus is saying to these disciples just before he returns to heaven is stay into Jerusalem until the Spirit takes over in your life. Because when the Spirit takes over in your life, you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses the world over. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit has been reduced in the thinking and understanding of many people to having an experience of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus is really talking about is living full of the Spirit. Not just having an experience of the Spirit that releases you into the gift of tongues, as important as that is. Both are important. To have experience of the Spirit and to be released in tongues. Both those very important. But that's not the same as living full of the Spirit. I've been reading some Smith Wigglesworth recently, something which I've never done in the past. I've known of him as, and read a bit about him as a great man, read a book about him as a great man of faith he was, but I've never read anything of his own writing. And the thing that has struck me is how he repeatedly affirms that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is everything in the life of a Christian. But what that means is living full of the Spirit, not just having been filled with the Spirit. And the more I read, the more I'm saying, amen. That's exactly what I've known and experienced and believe. If we have been baptized in the Spirit, we certainly have the Holy Spirit living within us. And what God was doing with you students at the beginning of term, in making that wholehearted surrender of your life to Him, was making available every aspect of your life so that, though every aspect of your life could come under the anointing and empowering of God's Spirit. Is the Spirit of God moving amongst us? Most certainly, yes. Is He doing good things? Of course. He can't do anything other than good things. Are we living full of the Holy Spirit? Well, that's a question for you to ask of yourself. Are you living full of the Holy Spirit so that rivers of living water are flowing out of you, just as Jesus said? So that you are filled with power. So that you are a witness wherever you go. I can't answer that question for you. Each has to answer that question for himself. Does this mean we need to be more fully yielded to the Holy Spirit? Does a reviving move of God's Spirit depend upon us? Or does it come under the category of what Jesus was saying to the disciples, that it's not for you to know the times and seasons? Presumably, God moves in more extraordinary ways when He knows the time and situation is right. Does that mean there's stuff he has to do in the lives of his children before the time is right? That's something that I constantly think about. Because as I think of the times of revival that I've known and experienced, I'm aware of what God worked in us before, but I'm also aware of what he worked in us because he had. And I'm aware that the whole process is so much a work of the Holy Spirit that we cannot create before what he can only do when the Spirit is moving in revival power. People are different. They're different, they pray in a different way, they believe in a different way, they see God moving in a different way. Everything is different because the Spirit has taken over. So it raises the question, well, how much can we do to make our lives available to God for such a move? And how much is dependent upon such a move for God to work in us his best purpose? Those of you that have been studying the Wesleyan Revival have already seen the depth of what God was doing in the lives of those men before the revival began. But you've also seen the contrast of the fruit that happened once the revival had begun. So it raises the question, what is revival? Not in man's understanding, but in God's purpose. Are we seeking an event? Are we seeking God? Are we seeking a move of the Spirit? What is it? Clearly, it is a work of the Spirit. And here Jesus is saying, you will receive power. I can remember before my first experience of revival, the very thing that we were asking ourselves, we were comparing the life of the church with what we read in the Acts of the Apostles. And this was the first part. We looked at some of the things in the Acts of the Apostles. And the first thing we saw is this power. And we said, well, where is the power? We looked at the church as it was then. And we said, well, where is the power? We're supposed to belong to the same faith, the same religion, if you like, as these first believers. And as you read the Acts of the Apostles, you see the evidence of the power. In fact, you only have to read the first four chapters and the power of God is bringing them together in unity. The power of God is creating a lifestyle, a kingdom lifestyle amongst them. Miracles are happening. Thousands are coming into the kingdom. All because they received the power. You could see the evidence of the power, the outworking of the power. And we ask the question, well, where is the power? Now, at that time, we weren't seeing anything of the power. Here, we're not in that situation because we do see something of the power of God. We do see miracles. We do see healings. We do see a number of people whose lives are being transformed as they come out of darkness into the light. But the measure of what we're seeing is somewhat limited compared with the Acts of the Apostles. But our God is the same God, and the Spirit is the same Spirit, and I don't see anything in Scripture which says that God wants to place any limitations upon his people today. I believe he wants the same fruitfulness today as we see in Scripture. That all Scripture is given for our learning, and I believe that therefore what God is saying to us as we read the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospels and Epistles come to that, well, this is what you're aiming for. This is what I want to see happening amongst you. And Jesus clearly says, well, it all depends upon living baptized or immersed in my Spirit. So clearly we don't deny anything that we have received or anything that God is already doing, but we have to come to the conclusion, Lord, we need to see more. Need to see more evidence of your power. We need to see more miracles, more boldness in proclaiming the gospel as your witnesses. And of course, as we read chapter 4 of the Acts of the Apostles, that's precisely what those first believers were then praying. We need to see more. And they were already seeing thousands saved. They were already seeing great miracles like the healing of the cripple at the temple gate. They were already facing persecution and imprisonment for some of them because they were being bold witnesses. But their prayer was, Lord, we need to see more. They weren't content with 5,000 being saved. They weren't content with the miracles that were happening. They weren't content with the level of their witness. Their prayer was, Lord, we need to see more. Now, they didn't pray for more of the Holy Spirit, but God's answer was to give them more of the Holy Spirit. They all got filled again. Why? Because they wanted to see more. Not because they wanted to experience more. But they wanted to see more. They wanted they wanted to be able to see more through what God was doing through them. They were putting their lives in God's way. Say, we need to see more. We need to see more. We need to see more. We need to see much more. And God wants to do much more. And I'm not denying the value of what he's doing now. We've had the best term we've had in college for years. But we need to see more. Much more. And if we're going to see more, it has to be the Holy Spirit. But God's chosen way is for the Holy Spirit to work through people. What's revival all about? More of Him. It's just more of Him. So much more of Him that He takes over. Now, there can be a reluctance to let God do that. Perhaps not everybody wants God to take over in their life. Perhaps not everybody is prepared for that, or even desires that. Perhaps it's not their motive. Perhaps not everybody is praying, "Lord, I want you to take over." Because what I do for you is nothing compared to what you could do through me if you take over. Perhaps some people think that's a threat. Because if he takes over, I'm going to lose control. Precisely. While you're in control, there'll be no revival. It's as simple as that. Good things will happen. I want God to take over. But what I know of revival is it's not a one-man show. It's what God has to do within the body. He can revive individuals. He's taking us through a process of reviving in a sense now, because the Holy Spirit is having a greater and greater say in our lives, even though we may not have come to that point where he takes over. But it's what happens amongst us corporately that is going to determine whether there is a move of the Spirit that impacts the nation around us in the way that God desires. And this is where you see, you have to look at a situation from the Godward aspect and the manward aspect. You have Finney saying, and he saw a revival that literally transformed cities. The brothels closed, the prisons were emptied of nearly all the prisoners, the corruption in society was transformed. Godly cities. Now, he was the guy that got married, and halfway through his honeymoon, he received a message that the move of God was just beginning in a certain city and they needed him. He went there and didn't see his wife again for 6 months. Why? Because God had taken over in his life. And it was more important for him to be where God wanted him to be, where the Spirit was taking over, than on a honeymoon with his wife. Motive. Yeah, revival costs you everything. But it's Finney, you see, who said you can have revival anywhere you choose, at any time you choose, so long as you're prepared to pay the cost. What is the cost? Letting the Holy Spirit take over. When you think about it, that's not a great cost, except to the flesh, because the flesh and the spirit are opposed to one another. But if the Spirit is taking over, God is taking over. I mean, let's face it, that's not really such a cost, is it? God to take over. You see, what's it going to be like in heaven? Well, none of us know, but I can assure you of this. In heaven, God has taken over. And you see, he tells us to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If God takes over in heaven, God wants to take over on earth. What does it mean to live in the kingdom of God? Well, we're living under the rule and the reign of Jesus. What does that mean? Well, he is supreme. What does the scripture say? He is to be supreme in all things. Colossians 1. If he is supreme in all things, what has happened? He's taken over. He's ruling and he's reigning in his people. Why? Because they want him to. My life's much too comfortable at present. We need to be discomforted before we get comforted.
Shaken.
Not because we're a James Bond cocktail, but because the Holy God, Spirit wants to move in our lives. People that are tasty because they've been shaken and stirred. So perhaps what Finney is saying is, yes, there's a manward aspect to revival, having to be in the place with God where you want, you desire his best, your motive, not as a wish. Is it not a wish list? But because you're ready to say, Lord, I'm laying my life on the line. The way the revivalist put it is saying, I'm laying my life on the altar. The altar is the place of sacrifice. So my life is yours. For you to take hold of me, use me in whatever way, so that your best purposes can be fulfilled in my life. That the call of God, the reason why you chose me to be your child, can be fulfilled. That the destiny that you have for us as the body of Christ can be outworked for your glory. That's the manward side. If we look at it from God's perspective, what's he waiting for? If revival is his best purpose, if his desire is for the Spirit to take over so that 5,000 kingdom lifestyle, a cripple was walking, from God's perspective, what's he waiting for? Always seems to me that if we can put this in sort of human language, it's as if God has his hand stretched out to bless, and that what he wants to do is to lay that hand upon the lives of his children. But he has to wait until they come within the reach of his hand. That the problem is, most sort of come to the fringe, to the edge, to the verge of what God is wanting to do, and they don't take the final step, which will bring them into that place of greater blessing that God wants for them. That He's ready, and in His foreknowledge He knows when. But some of us have been looking at the life of Moses in the last couple of weeks. And you know, when Moses was sent by God to Egypt, it was because God had seen the suffering of His people. And the heart of God was moved with compassion to do whatever is necessary to deliver His people. And I want to say, dear God, You know what's going on in the world at present. You know what's going on in society all around us. You know how much ungodliness there is. Surely, Lord, You will move by Your Spirit to change all this. That's what I want to say. I would love to give God that agenda and say, Lord, look at the mess the world is in at present. Move. And then God says to me, Colin, Egypt was in a mess, but I didn't move upon Egypt. I moved upon My people. I came to deliver My people from Egypt. I didn't send Moses to transform society. I sent Moses for My people. So, Lord, well, look upon Your people. What do You see among Your people? Compromise? Pleasure seeking? Worldliness? In some places, persecution. Martyrdom. Oh God. What would You do? And the Lord says to me, how much of what is going on among My people is being done to them because they are an oppressed people like the people in Egypt? Or how much is their own fault and responsibility because they are not walking in My ways? Do I want to move so that My people experience My best? Sure, but only when My people want My best. You see, when most people pray for revival, they're praying for everybody else to get revived. Or they're praying for the fruit of revival, to see more saved and more miracles, more healings. And the old revivalist prayer, Lord, send revival and begin with me. They don't see that that's where revival has to begin. It has to begin with me. It has to begin with you. It has to begin with having the right motive, desire. Lord, I am not satisfied with what I see you doing in my life at this time. Good though it is, I know, Lord, you want to do more. And I know, Lord, that what you really want to do is to take over. That's why Paul, when he's talking to the Romans, talks about living under the control of the Holy Spirit. See, people, they hate that word control. No, I don't want anyone to control me. Not even the Holy Spirit. Just think for a moment. If the Holy Spirit was in control in your life now, what would change? Overnight. What would change? Now, if your answer to that is nothing, then he's already in control. But if you can see, well, Lord, where shall I begin with the list? And you see, God's answer to that is precisely, now you can see where I'm getting at. But you see, my friends, this is this dichotomy that I was talking about earlier. You could make a list of the things that would change, but actually those things would only change when the Spirit was in control. You couldn't go down your list and reform yourself or revive yourself or transform yourself, because you can only be transformed into His likeness, ever-increasing glory, by the Holy Spirit. So if you were to make a list of all the things that would change if the Holy Spirit was in control, all God says is, okay, let Him, then all those things will happen. And actually, they would happen more or less overnight. Once He's in control. So, you've got a few days to end a term. What you going to do? 3 weeks? Switch off? Say, well, Pastor Colin will get something new for God over Christmas. And we'll all come back first week of term, and whatever God has done in His life can then impact our lives. Yeah, I'm going to spend 3 weeks seeking after God over Christmas. He's already talked to me about what He wants to do in the first week of term, and I know I'm not in the place where that can happen yet. But I know that in 3 weeks' time, or 4 weeks' time as it is from now, I'm going to have to be in that place. So that's okay. I'm ready for that. But it doesn't depend upon me. I've got to be in the place where God wants me to be so that whatever part I have to play in that, I can fulfill. But you see, if we have hearts after God, our attitude is, praise God, only another 9 days, the end of term. No, no, no. Whether the term ends or not is irrelevant, because we love Him and we're seeking after Him and we want His best and we want him to be in control even over Christmas. Or do we? It might sound a nice idea while I'm preaching about it, but you know, nice ideas are not always the reality of what takes place. Oh, well, Pastor, I'm tired. I bet you're not half as tired as I am. You know, I go full bore here usually till lunchtime, and that's it. Because I'm a lot older than you. I used to go full bore all day long and the evening and half the night. But I don't have that energy now. But you see, it doesn't depend upon me, because what we're talking about is God doing something corporately amongst us. Now, does God want you to relax over Christmas time? Yes, of course he does. I shall relax some of the time. But he doesn't want us to lose our focus. He doesn't want us to lose any motivation. In fact, you see, it would be great if when we come back in the new year, every one of us, whether team or students, every one of us had come to that place where we were genuinely, genuinely from our hearts saying, Holy Spirit, come and take over. Not praying it off the top of our head, but because it had become a heart desire. See, what I'd like to see is all you students, when you finish your course here, being sent out with revival ministries. So wherever you go, you took revival with you. And moves of the Spirit broke out because of what you were carrying. I'd like to see that. Do you think God would like to see that? Do you think it's possible? Why not? Say, well, I'm not very old. Some of you would say, I'm not very old and not very experienced. Nor was I when all this stuff started. I didn't know anything. Didn't know half of what you knew, of what you know. It's got nothing to do with knowledge. It's got to do with the heart. I can't beat myself up. I feel like doing that sometimes, but I know it's not the right thing to do. Because a question people often ask me is, you know, why don't revivals go on lasting? Why do they come to an end? And, you know, you can make all kinds of spiritual-sounding answers. The truth of the matter is that we let God take over for a period of time, then we begin to take things back ourselves. And once you do that, it's never the same again. And it can happen in very subtle ways, but you don't have to worry about that because we're not at that place yet. When you're in revival, what you discover is the revival needs to be constantly revived if it's to continue. But first of all, God wants us in this place. Well, our motive, our heart desire is, Lord, come and take over in my life. When the decision was made for Pastor Jonathan and Eleanor Croft to take over the London church, I said that I would run the college for 1 year, knowing that that was going to be a stretch at my age. I know the Lord sustains and the Lord enables and all of that, but and he has been doing that. But I said that because I believed that God was going to bring together a group of people among whom he was going to move in a very special way. And that my humble task, really, was just to help, to direct, to lead, to motivate, so that God's best purposes could happen. I believe that what he's done in you is to bring together a group of people who are actually prepared, or will be prepared, to let him take over. And I mean, you're a motley crew. Because that's what God does. He chooses the most unlikely people for his best purposes. He doesn't choose those who see themselves as spiritual high flyers. He chooses the humble. He chooses those that can't possibly see any reason why God should want to use them in some significant or mighty way. So I'm still going with that. I'm still going with what I believe God said. Which I take it to mean that most of you, if not all of you, are going to come to that place where you say from your heart, Holy Spirit, take over in my life. And I can see in the Spirit, I can see these fruitful ministries that God is going to produce. Because you'll be filled with power and you will be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. I believe that. I believe that. You see, the call on Kingdom Faith is not to raise up a local church. That's part of the call. The call on Kingdom Faith is to be a catalyst for revival. To see revival in God's church the world over. That what happens in a little place like this can have such widespread repercussions if it's God
I mean, look. How does Acts start? With 120 people. We got more than that in Kingdom Faith. What happened? The world got impacted by what God did among 120 people. I think back on what God did among an Anglican church where at the start nobody was born again. What God did in Kingdom Faith when we were a community, when there were just 60 odd people. What God did, how widespread repercussions, because it's God. It's God taking over. So, that might not be how you feel, but that's how I feel. Lord, have mercy. Right, one more thing. God taking over is not the product of striving. It's not, we gotta seek God even more. No, God taking over is just letting go. Instead of holding on to self, instead of preserving self, instead of guarding self, instead of being concerned about self, it's just, okay, Lord. You know, I hear Christians often speak, when I'm traveling around and, you know, praying with pastors and so on before meetings, one of the things they commonly say is, Lord, have your way. And I think, boy, if only you knew what God would do if you let him have his way. You see, they don't really want God to have his way. They just say, oh, Lord, move in this meeting, you know. Do something that will bless you. But no, no, no. I think we need to pray, Lord, have your way with me. See, not with us. Revival isn't us prayers. Revival is me prayers. See? Because you put your life on the line. You say, Lord, have your way with me. I want you to take over. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. But, beloved, it has to be. And let me tell you this. There's no substitute for this. Everything else is second best compared with this. Doesn't matter what you do or what we do as a people, everything else is second best. To allowing God to take over. Yeah, we do all the other stuff that God leads us to do by His Spirit. But what He's longing for is to take over. And what God is longing to do in our hearts is to bring us to that place where we genuinely want Him. Let's all stand.
Can I just read you the amended scripture? Do not leave Horsham, but wait for the gift my father promised. In a few days, you will be baptized afresh with the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Crawley, in Worthing, and away to the ends of the earth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Can you pray then? You respond to what God has been saying. Be real. Be honest. If you're afraid, don't bury the fear, but say, Lord, I'm afraid of what it's going to mean if I really let you take over. Forgive me for my fear. If you realize there are ways in which you want to hold on, that you still want to be in control, that you're afraid to let go of the control of your life, tell the Lord that. Be honest. Ask Him, Lord, do whatever you need to do in me so that I trust you. I trust you sufficiently to let you take control. I don't want to try to control you or your purposes in my life. I want you to control me and to move by your Spirit in my life to fulfill the purpose you have for me. When you pray, see, we're not waiting for an event. We're just coming into the place where God wants us to be. So His Spirit can have the freedom in our lives that He desires to have. Because it's not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not my will, but yours be done. Thank you, Jesus. Now, at the beginning of term, you surrendered everything to Him. You opened every area of your life to Him. So really, this is the next step. Now, Lord, take control in every one of those areas. I want to be so filled with your Spirit, to live full of your Spirit, that those rivers of living water are flowing out of me, that I will see the evidence of your power in my life, and I will be the witness that you've called me to be. Thank you, Lord, you will make me a carrier of your presence wherever I go. And men shall bow before you because of the dynamic of your Spirit that is operating in my life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I repent. I repent before my brothers and sisters this morning. I repent of the fact that I've known these things, but I haven't allowed you to be in control of everything in my life in recent times. And Lord, my prayer is now that you bring me back to that place where you are in control, total control. And Lord, I repent of anything that would grieve your Holy Spirit, anything that is less than your best. And I know, Lord, your desire for me is for me to be living in your best, as your desire is for every one of your children to live in your best. And I repent, Lord, of the fact that I have not lived in your best. I've lived in what is good, but I haven't lived in what is your best. And Lord, I come to this place openly before my brothers and sisters this morning and saying, now, Lord, I want you to restore me to that best. I want you, Lord, to come and take control in every area, so that my age doesn't matter, that your power will transcend any of my human weakness. And I thank you, Lord. I praise you, and I pray for all my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that you would do such a gracious work in each one of our hearts and lives. Thank you that this term is not going to just sort of fade away at the end, but Lord, we're still reaching out for your best. And Lord, we're not going to lose focus in between term times, but we're going to come back hungry for your best. Wanting you to take over, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, bring about in me whatever changes are necessary so that you are in control in every area of my life at all times, Lord. I thank you for your loving kindness, for your mercy, your patience. I thank you for your wonderful grace, Lord, that has brought me to this place at this time. Thank you that you're the God of perfect timing, that you determine the times and seasons. Hallelujah. And we praise you, we bless you, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Oh, Pazarabaria, let up a color seat to the Sandaria, let up a color seat to the Sandaria.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Paparazarabaria leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasato bakalasita di sandaria. Oh, pasarabaria leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasandaria. Come and take control in every area of kingdom faith, Lord. Not just of our lives personally, but in the corporate life of your body here.
Yes, Lord.
Not just at Rafi, but in the whole of kingdom faith. That we would fulfill the destiny, the call of God that is upon us as a people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can be light in the darkness, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Thank you, Lord, you can make us salt for the earth, light for the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Paparazatabaria leto bakalasato bakalasidama. I thank you that every family in Kingdom Faith is going to be impacted. Every child is going to be brought up in the reviving move of your Spirit because we've allowed you to come in and take control. Paraparazatabaria leto bakalasando. Bazandaria letu bakalasato bakalasita di sando. Bazadabaria letu bakalasato bakalasita di sando. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Papara zadabaria letu bakalasato bakalasita ma. Bazandaria letu bakalasando. Thank you, Lord. It's not by striving. Not by striving. But just by letting you literally have your way and to take over. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Parataparia letu bakalasandam. Bazataparia letu bakalasitarisandam. Oh, paparazataparia letu bakalasandam. Lord, I want you to have your way so that your holiness, your righteousness, your love, your power abounds in my life.
Yes. Yes.
In as full a way as is possible.
Yes.
Nothing less, Lord. Yes. Nothing second best. Only your best. For your glory. For your glory. For your love. Out of praise for you, Lord. Your best. Your best. Kataparia leto bakalasando. Bazataparia leto bakalasato bakalasita di sando. Bazataria leto bakalasato bakalasuta di sando. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that you planned good things for us to walk in, Lord. Not just good things, your plan is for the best. The best that you have, Lord. We want to live in the fullness of life that you've given us. We want to see that fullness being expressed in the people that we are and the things that we do. Thank you, Jesus. Come and take over with the fullness of your life. Come and take control, Lord. Come and take control.
Oh,
Jesus. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, thank you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord God. Bless you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let the light of your glory shine in every life in this room. In every one of us, Lord. Let the light of your glory shine out of our lives. That wherever we go, we take your light as a people of light. And that that light will impact the darkness of many, many other lives. We see people come out of that darkness into your glorious light. Thank you, Lord, that as we sow our lives, so we will reap a harvest of righteousness, produce a mighty harvest amongst us, Lord.
Thank you.
For the glory of your name.
Yes, Lord.
For the good of your kingdom.
Yes, Jesus.
And the welfare of your people.
Yes, Jesus. Come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Come on,
thank
let's you, give him Jesus. A great big thanksgiving. Thank you. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you, 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 praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I know where I'm aiming. Do you know where you're aiming?
Yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes.
Not to strive, but to let him take over in everything. Praise God. Okay. Have a good rest of the day. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.